much needed. I'm not sure that it'll be too much enjoyed, because it's a truth that's going to make us examine ourselves. And I really do believe that we're living in the last days. And I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And this should never, ever be the day where we have any question mark about our eternity. And so I'm going to do everything I can to help you today by using a little illustration from the Bible. We're going to go to the book of Revelation, and we're going to find chapter number 20. And I'm going to speak from that today, and I'm going to set up a prop up here that I can use just to kind of give you an illustration that I think will help you to see what I'm wanting to portray from the Word of God. We're going to go to Revelation, find chapter number 20. Let me use, I'm going to just use this little pulpit right here. I'm going to set it over here so that you can see it. And I'm just going to set up a prop here. I don't have it. There we go. Okay. I want you to see this with your own eyes, because I'm going to take something from the Scripture that I believe you'll agree is a scene that we're going to face when we get to heaven. I'm going to take some of these books, because we're going to talk about the books were open here in just a moment. I'm going to put these right over here like this, so that you can, well, let's see here. There, we'll do that. Let me get another one here. I don't know if that'll stay, but we'll try. Okay, I'll get one more over here. Can you all back there where you are, can you all see those books okay? Can you see them? There's far more books that we're going to read about in heaven here. Hope those don't fall. And then I'm going to take this down here, if Brother David doesn't mind, for just a few moments. I'm not going to sing out of it. And you're glad for that, and you ought to say amen. But I'm going to use this book for another book here that the Scripture talks about. Now, I want to read the passage of Scripture of Revelation chapter 20. But before I do, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Hold your finger there in Revelation chapter 20. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Revelation 20 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Now watch carefully as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to read over there verse number, let's look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether, watch this now, you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That word prove means test. Put yourself to the test. Whether you be in the faith. Then says this, know ye not your own selves. In other words, don't be thinking about somebody else about this right now. Don't be thinking about your husband or your wife. Don't think about your children. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about somebody else. Know ye your own selves. Know yourself, individually. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. In you. Examine yourself. Put this to the test. Know your own self, that Jesus Christ is in you. And then the Apostle Paul says, except you be reprobates. And so now, what I want you to see here in just a few moments is how we can this morning do one of the most important things, even though it's not comfortable at times, to put ourselves to a test by examining us. Ourselves, are we really, truly, honestly, 100% sure that Jesus really does live in us? Are you really saved? This is not any time in this day and age that we're living in to have any kind of a question mark about this at all. Let me, before I read Revelation chapter 20, let me give you some stats. As you know, we're living in that day when Jesus could come at any moment, or we're living in that day in the last 48 hours, even here in this church. Somebody passed away out of this church that quick. And I have heard, and the person I mentioned to you in Sunday school that I spoke with going through the line just 2 days ago, shaking my hand after I got done preaching, and I spoke to this dear lady. She is now in eternity, and it happened that quick. She had no idea. We laughed and joked together as she was leaving that service. She had no clue whatsoever that she'd be in eternity right now. Now, here's the reason why I preach this message this morning, Brother Skyver. I'm glad you and I have something in common in that we knew some of the great men of the past. Al Lacey was my friend. I preached with him, preached for him. He was at the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado, years ago when I was just a young preacher boy studying. He and I have been friends for years. I traveled with Dr. Hiles for 12 years in the Fundamentalist Conferences. Preached in his National Pastor's School a number of times, but that's neither here nor there. I said that to say this. Let me give to you, before I read Revelation 20, let me give to you what great preachers have given that are some shocking statements. And here they are. Dr. R.G. Lee, who pastored the great, great church and one of the great pulpiteers of America. Here's what he said. He said, I believe that I have preached in my congregation where there were 80% of the people lost and on their way to hell. 80% of his church members that he preached to, the great pulpiteer, said that he believed that they were lost and on their way to hell. Let me go further. J. Harold Smith, another great preacher. He's the one that preached God's three deadlines in a sermon that's been all over this world and many people saved as a result of it. It was J. Harold Smith said that in Fort Smith, Arkansas, where I pastored, I believe 74% of my people in my church were lost and on their way to hell. Think of that. Then Tom Malone said 60% of his congregation would never make it to heaven. Listen to this. Dr. Jack Hiles, I heard him say not once but numbers of times, where he believes that 50% of those who profess to be saved will end up in hell. 50%. And he gives illustrations. The Bible says that wheat is sown with the tares. And I believe Brother Hiles was pretty close to what the Bible teaches about 50% of people who say they're saved will go to hell in the average church. And here's why. Here's why. Listen to carefully. Cain and Abel came from the same parents. One was saved, one was lost. Is that 50%? Then you go through the scripture and you'll find that there are 10 virgins. How many got in? 5 were saved, 5 were lost. That's 50%. The book of Luke, when Jesus was speaking about his coming and he compared the day and the age to Lot and to Noah, here's what he said. He's saying that when he came or when he comes again, there will be two in the bed, one will be taken and one will be left. Is that 50%? He also said in Luke that there would be, now get this, two in the field working together, one would be taken, one would be left. That's 50%. He said there would be two grinding. One would be taken, one would be left. Is that not 50%? What is the Bible teaching us so far? Watch this now. There were two thieves on the cross. Both of them heard and saw and was in the presence. both of them heard, as you hear in this church every Sunday, both of them saw, and both of them were in the presence of Christ. How many of the thieves got saved? 50%. I could go through the Bible and tell you there were two sons, the prodigal son and the religious son. One was saved, one was lost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to scare anybody in this room. I am at 74 years old, and next month I'll be 75 years old. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been preaching for 48 years, going on 48 years. And I believe that the stats that those men gave, that 50% or more of the people in the church are lost. We can't motivate you. We cannot in any way stir you. You come, you have a King James Bible in your hand. You look like, act like, talk like a Christian. But your life is not measuring up to the Word of God. And you know it. And you have not sensed His presence. You don't pray. You don't read your own Bible. You don't soul win. You're not faithful. And those are all works. And works do not save you. And I'm going to show that in just a few moments. But therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so if there's 50% given in the Scripture of people that are lost, we need to take at heart what it says in 2 Corinthians there, take in heart to examine ourselves. Don't mess with eternity. Buddy, when you take your last breath, you have no more hope to get things right. Don't mess with that. The most important thing in all this world is that you have Christ in you. Nothing more. Nothing. So I'm going to deal with this today, and I wanted to find it from Revelation chapter 20. And I want you to follow me very carefully, and I'm going to use my little prop here. And I want you to follow me very carefully. Would you stand with me as I read Revelation in chapter number 20, please? Revelation chapter number 20. And please, whatever you do, don't go to sleep. Give me just a few minutes now to make an explanation of this passage of Scripture, because this is going to happen one day. Otherwise, the Lord would have never put it in the Bible. This is going to happen. Everything that He's ever prophesied. You know what's going on in the Middle East right now is in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And do you understand that the Pope now is involved and the Bible's very clear? You ought to get the CD that I have about the Pope and the Antichrist. And I just saw on the news last night where the Pope's getting involved in this thing pretty heavily as what's going on in the Middle East. So, but anyway, this is in your Bible. This is in your Bible. Look what it says. It's going to happen. Either that or let's just close our Bible and call God a liar and just go out and get drunk. If this is not true, but this is going to happen. Here it is. Watch what it says. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11. And John writes and says, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Watch it now. And I saw the dead, small, that's the unimportant, and great, that's the kings and all, stand before God, and the books were opened. Here they are. Watch. This is a scene that's in heaven. There's a set of books in heaven, and the books were opened. Watch. And another book, here it is, was opened. Another book was opened. Watch carefully now. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Let's go on. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here's the passage, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but that's staggering to me. That grips my heart. And to think that 50% of the people in this room could be lost and will experience that. Staggering. But let me give you this truth, and I want you to be praying and examining yourself. Shall we pray? Father, please do what I or no other human in this world could ever do. Work by conviction on the hearts of each one of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. Now let me walk you through this a little bit, and I'll get into the message. Please be patient while I go through this. And here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says there in verse number 12, and the books were opened. There they are. In heaven, there's a library. God does not use a computer. God uses books. Is that what the Bible says? So there's a library of books. Now, I just got a few here, but he has a whole library plumb full of books. One with every man that's ever lived is in the books. Every man. And then he has one book, which is called the Book of Life. He's got many books, which are called the Book of Works of every man. But one book, which is the Book of Life. At the great white throne judgment, both will be present. The books with every man's name and all of his works will be there at the great white throne judgment. And the Book of Life, will be there at the great white throne judgment. The most important thing this side of eternity, the most important thing this side of eternity is that your name is written in the singular book. There's nothing in this world more important, but right now in heaven, your name is written in the Book of Life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, these books talk about all of the unsaved people and everything that they've ever done. Every unsaved person that's ever died will be resurrected and will be judged from the books according to what they had done on this earth. Every deed, everything that they'd ever done. As a matter of fact, and by the way, that's awesome because everything that person is recorded in the books. And I'm going to show you some scripture here. I want you to see this for yourself. Hold your Bible there to Revelation and go back to Luke chapter 12. Let me show you something. Go to Luke chapter 12. This is what Jesus himself already gave us warning of, but I want you to see it. Very quickly, go to Luke chapter number 12. Here's what it says in verse number 2. Luke chapter 12, verse number 2. Here's what he says. Luke 12, verse 2. It says, for there is nothing covered. In other words, you have not done anything in life since there's a God who's an all-seeing God. There's nothing that's covered that shall not be revealed. Neither hid that shall not be known. Look what it says in verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And what God is saying, there's not been anything that's a secret that you think is a secret that nobody knows about, but what is going to be revealed. Absolutely, what it's in the books. You didn't know when you were doing what you did that God was recording it in the books. And the reason why we know that is because, number one, the angels there's an assigned angel to every person and takes the information of what man does on this earth to be recorded in the books in heaven. Now think with me and follow me carefully. Here's the paradox. Works don't save us. But there will be works if we are saved. Our works literally reveal if we are saved, according to James in chapter number 2. Works are not, listen to this now, works are not the root of salvation. Works are the fruit of salvation. And in the book of works, here's what's recorded of every man. Every idle word that has ever been spoken by you or by me is in the books. This very message I'm preaching right now will be in the books in heaven. There's nothing that I've ever spoken. I wish I had time, but I won't. In Matthew 12, 36, it tells you that. Every secret sin that you think that has been a secret that's ever been committed is in the books. Every lie you've ever told is in the books. And I won't go any further except to say this. But also, every good thing that any man or any person has ever done is also in the books. The good that you've done. Every nice thing, every charitable thing, every godly thing, every unselfish thing, everything done for the church, everything done that's in the name of Jesus, everything that you've ever done are in the books. Your whole life, good and bad, is summed up in the books in heaven. Now, if God can write a perfect book, He can write a perfect one on us too. If you believe that God has written a perfect Bible called the King James Bible, then it's not a mystery that God can write a perfect book up in heaven that's going to list everything you and I have ever done. But here's the strange thing. It's not strange, it's kind of a good thing. Even though all your good works and religious works and charitable works are all listed in the book of works, they have nothing to do with you getting into heaven. They are recording every single thought, act, deed that we've ever done. But what's in the books in heaven, that library of books that's got my name in it, with everything that I've ever done, has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not I get into heaven. Your getting into heaven is not in any way dependent upon what's written in the books. You're getting into heaven is dependent on whether or not your name is written in the book. Is it? Is it in the book? I'll guarantee and promise you 100% it's in the books. But is your name in the book? That's going to determine whether or not you get into heaven. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. The Bible's very clear in telling us that for by grace are you saved. Huh? For grace are you saved by faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now follow me carefully. If you notice in the book of Revelation that there is the book of life and it was opened, and whosoever was not found written in that book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I want you to understand that it's very vital and important, church. Bethel Baptist Church, church member, don't be one of the stats on the wrong side of the 50%. It's very, very vital and important for your eternity that your name really, truly is in the book of life. Because I'll guarantee you it is in the books of works. One of the biggest issues within the religious world today is a person saved by grace or is he saved by works? I can answer that for you. The Bible says that a person is saved by grace. But a lot of our church members and our independent Baptist churches are of the idea that if they do certain things or said some certain prayer or go through certain motions or even be baptized or join the church or whatever, is going to have God take merit upon them and get it. No, 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 no. Those are all works. It's not works that's going to get you to heaven. There are three things about salvation and works. Here's number one. The three things about salvation and works is the Bible teaches that salvation is only by Jesus. Listen to this verse. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Listen to this verse. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Jesus said, "Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again." And by the way, I was born into my mom and dad's family, and it's very interesting. I had not seen my real dad because my mom divorced him when I was 2 years old, and I had not seen him until I was 26. And you would not believe this unless you had seen it yourself, but when I came into the presence of my real dad, the whole family were amazed of the resemblances and the traits that my dad and I looked alike. I was like my real dad and didn't even live with him. Hold it. If that be true and I've been born again and I've been born into a God the Father's family, who should I be resembling? And why is it half the Baptists don't resemble God at all? I'll tell you why half the Baptists are not resembling God at all. It's because they have never been born again. 50%. Now listen carefully. I'm going to get on. The first thing is the Bible teaches salvation is only by Jesus. Number two, the Bible teaches that when you get saved, you will work, you will serve, you will follow Jesus because there's an inward desire and drive that causes you to do this. That's why the Bible says there's a working which worketh in you. The Bible says that the new nature will impel you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will motivate you. The Bible says the life will flow through you. And so there is that new life, that change that happens. I wonder how many Christians sit in our, or how many people call themselves Christians, sit in our churches and there's no change. And the Bible also, this is the third thing, teaches that all works and service done before salvation in order to get salvation is simply called nothing but dead works. Now, let me give to you the message I want to bring today. Here's what's going to happen, and please listen to me on purpose. I don't intend to be impressive on anybody. I'm glad for your pastor to brag on me the way he does, but I'm not trying to impress you. If you knew my heart right now, I'm celebrating my 49th birthday in Christ right now today. But if you knew my heart right now, I am burdened about people sitting in this room who have made a profession, who have never got a possession, and they're on their way to hell, and they're closer to it than what you realize. I can walk out of here today and you can dislike me for what I'm telling you, but I'm going to tell you the best friend you got right this very moment is somebody to get you to do what the Bible says do, and that's examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Put yourself to the test. Are you really, really, truly, honestly, 100% going to heaven? Here's the issue. Books or book? Books or book? If your name is written in the book of life, you have absolutely zero fear of what's written in the books. Listen now. All your sins, if your name is in here, are canceled. It makes no difference what's in the books. If you've been saved, every sin you've ever committed or will commit has been canceled and blotted out by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But if your name's not in the book, then you stand to be judged for every single solitary thing as far as sin and wickedness is concerned that you've done. You'll be judged for it. And your degree of hell will depend on what's written in the books. However, listen to this. God is going to bring up, according to the Bible, the great host of wicked people before the throne. I'm talking about the God-haters. I'm talking about the Christ rejectors. I'm talking about the blasphemers. I'm talking about the drunkards. I'm talking about they that will hear, "Depart from me, I knew you not." And those going to be people like you and I. Hitler, Hugh Hefner, the one that's corrupted this world with pornography and his Playboy philosophies. In hell he will be. Hussein, Mr. Bundy, the serial killer, and all of the other serial killers. Jeffrey Dahmer, another serial killer and homosexual. And then Bin Laden. Oh, yes. Saddam Hussein. And so many others. The fellow that just beheaded someone else. And men like that. Listen to me. Is that who you want to spend eternity with? They will be your partners. Those are the kind of people that are going to be brought up before the throne of God, and they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And you could be sitting in this church today with good of God's people, with a great godly pastor, and not be saved and be cast into a lake of fire to spend eternity with people like that. How awesome. How horrible to sit in a church like this one and be able to have the message of God's grace and the gospel preached to you, and you so reject it that you would spend eternity with people like this. But that's not all. And that's the reason why I say this. Not only are the God haters and the Christ rejectors and the blasphemers and the wicked people, but did you know that church people, religious people are going to be there in hell and cast in the lake of fire? You say, "Brother Miller, where does it say that?" Go to Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Go over there. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's just take a look and see if God doesn't say that. Go to Matthew chapter 7 and watch this very carefully. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read some verses to you, and I want you to notice as I read what the Lord himself said and how he said it very clearly. Matthew chapter 7. He says, first of all, in verses 13 and 14, that there's a straight gate and there's a wide gate. And he says, many go in there of the broad gate that goes to destruction. Many go in there. And verse number 14, watch this. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few. Not many are saved. They go to the others. Most go to destruction. Few there be that really get saved, according to Jesus. Now, that's Jesus right in that. And then look what he says. He says over in verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord." You mean to tell me there are people that pray and call him Lord, and not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now watch this. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" In other words, preached. "And thy name have cast out devils." In other words, done miracles. "And in thy name done many wonderful works." Haven't we done many good things? And look what he says, verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You call me Lord, Lord. You did all kinds of different religious and practiced a lot of Christian things. You did all these things." And he said, "But I never knew you. Depart from me," he says, "ye workers of iniquity." Who's he talking to there? Church people. Church people. You say, "Brother Miller, no. You need to... You need to understand, this is what's going to happen. And what they're saying when they say, Lord, Lord, what they're saying is, look in the books, Lord. Look in the books and see what all I did. And they're saying, Lord, check the records. You got the records. They're all in the books there in your library. Go ahead and check the records and see what I did. I've prophesied in your name. I've cast out devils. I've done many. Go ahead, check the books. Check the books. The Lord said, okay, I'll check the books. And he checks the books. Now listen to me. Here's what I believe with all my heart is going to happen. Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne. He's going to call individuals up. One at a time, because we're talking about eternity now and there's not any time limit there. So he's going to call them up. He's raised them up out of the dead and he's going to call them to the throne. And when one comes up, he's going to say to the Lord sitting on the throne, Lord, you remember me. I went to church. I mean, I tithe. You remember me. In fact, if you look in the books there, Lord, my name's Riley. Look in there. My name is Joseph Riley. Would you look in the books there, Lord, and remember, I went to church, I tithed, I went on visitation. And Jesus goes to the books, and he opens them up. He says, what's your name? Riley. What's your first name? Joseph. And the Lord looks under Riley, Joseph, you sure did. My goodness, yeah, it's written right here. The times that you went to church, you actually did go on visitation. You even visited some folks in a hospital. And, well, I'll declare, look at that. You did tie some of your income. And the Lord said, hold a minute. You're right, Joseph. But let me check the book. Riley. Joseph, you said? Yeah, Joseph. Oh, yeah, here. It goes from Joseph right in. What was your address? What's your middle name? Joseph. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He was not in the book. But all the good things that he did, he found in the books. And ladies and gentlemen, if the name's not in the book, it makes no difference what he finds in the books. Well, here comes another one up. This one comes up and he says, Lord, now you remember me. My name is Harris. Tom Harris. Hope there's nobody named that here. My name's Tom Harris. And Lord, I taught Sunday school there at Bethel Baptist Church for 20 years. I've been faithful. I visited the sick and I helped the poor and I've done all of these. But the Lord said, hold it just a minute. Let me just check. What, Harris? And the Lord goes to the books. He says, sure enough, you sure did do those things. It's written as plain as it could be right here. Every act that you ever did. Hold on a minute, Mr. Harris. Let me check the book. Let me check the book. H. Harris. Your name's not in here. Depart from me. I never knew you. And the wailing and the screaming that the Bible says and the gnashing of teeth as they're cast into the lake of fire. Like Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, where they're begging for just not a drop, not a cupful, not a bucket, not a glass, not a bottle of water. He said, let Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented. That's the lake of fire. When you're not in the book. Another one comes up. Listen now. Just be patient with me. Another one comes up and says, Lord, I pastored the church. I conducted funerals. I performed weddings. My whole life was inside the church. I never did the things of this world. And you know that. You know that I was faithful to the ministry, the Lutheran ministry, the Methodist ministry, the Catholic ministry, the Baptist ministry. The Lord said, hold it right there. I understand you were in the ministry. But let me check the books. And the Lord goes to the books and he finds everything that that good minister did. But then he'll say to that good minister, let me check the book. And he finds not the name of that good minister in the book. An evangelist comes up and he says, Lord, my name is Graham. I was an evangelist for all these years. I was gone away from my family week after week. I even preached revivals, and there were many that would come to the altar. And Lord, you saw all the great works I've done as an evangelist. And I'm an evangelist, by the way. And the Lord said, well, let me check the books. And he goes and he sees every church that I attended and evangelist that had many different decisions take place in churches. And he shuts those books and he said, but let me check the book. Let me find out about the book. What was your name? Graham? 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 I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Now, folks, I could go on and on and on, and I could tell you that there are those that have had different kinds of ministries and done and performed different kinds of deeds and gone through all kinds of different situations. And here's what happened. They were washed? No. They were cleansed? No. They were still dirty, but pretended like they were washed and cleansed. They had prayed, but they were not saved. And I want to tell you something. I lead people to Christ, and I ask them to ask the Lord in prayer. But I always make sure that they understand that they're lost before they ever get saved. And what I believe we have in our independent Baptist churches are a lot of people that have prayed a prayer, but nothing took place because they didn't have faith that Jesus Christ really was. And we got folks that sit in our churches that's made a prayer and made profession that are lost and on their way to hell. And I don't say that gladly. God only knows my heart breaks. Because we got good people like you all. Some of you sitting here, good folks. Good people. That have intentions in going to heaven. But because you did not get saved the Bible way, you got a profession by making some kind of prayer or pretense. You as a good person and even recorded in the books in heaven will end up going to hell because you did not ever get your name in the book. I wish there was some way I could convey to you. There are people that have the form of godliness, but they have no power. They have no desire. They have no change. There are people that are conformed, but they've never been transformed. There are people that have never been born again. There are people that claim salvation, but they're going to receive damnation. I got to give you this just before I'm done. I mean, you got to hear this. I was preaching on Judas Iscariot in our church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I was going through all the format that Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, walked with the Lord more than anybody else as one of the 12 disciples. He ate with him. He no doubt would, and their journeys, be able to sleep in the same areas that Jesus slept in. He got in the boat and sailed with Jesus. He saw Jesus perform all of the miracles and all. And I went through everything that Judas Iscariot got to see and to be witness of about the Lord. And yet, died, hung himself, went to hell as one of the 12. And I was preaching that, Brother Skyver. And we had, that's, my wife's here to verify exactly what I'm saying. We had on that particular Sunday a visiting pastor and his wife. that pastored a church in Colorado, and they were going on their vacation and stopped in on our church, and I was preaching on Judas Iscariot. He was about 70-some years old, and here's what happened. I preached on Judas, and about three-quarters of the way through my sermon, that pastor, who had been himself preaching and pastoring for over 50 years, stood up while I'm preaching and held up his hand, and he said, "My God, preacher! Oh, my God! I'm not saved!" And down the aisle, that pastor who had preached for 50 years and pastored churches came down, and I stopped my message and got down and put my arm around him, opened up the Bible, and gave him a couple of verses, and I heard, with tears flowing down his face, heard him accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He had a ministry of 50 years written in the books, but he never had one time his name written in the book. Buddy, I want to tell you, if eternity is real, if this Bible is real, if God is real, and if this truth is real, you, of all people that are in the sound of my voice right now, if there's ever been a decision you've ever made, you better make sure your name is in the book. Let me ask you this question, I'm through. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Before you answer that, you say, "Preacher, I believe it is." Okay, then let's question it. Let's question it. I'm done, but let's question it. Here's where I want to question it. When, individually, not your wife, not your husband, not, when was it written there? Do you remember the occasion when it was written there? Were you in church? Were you at home? Were you in your car? Were you out on the street? Where did it happen where you know you really were born again and God took the pen up in heaven and dipped it in his blood and wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life your name? When? Where? What was the occasion? How do you know? Do you remember the day that it was supposed to have happened, that you were hopeless, hellbound, a sinner that was desperate and in need of a Savior, and you knew you were lost? You knew you were lost. You knew you were going to hell, and you had to get saved. Was that the kind of salvation you experienced? Or did you just kind of slip into some profession? I wouldn't give a nickel for a salvation experience that is not great enough to make you remember when it happened. I sure wouldn't settle for that kind. It's too risky. If you don't remember when it happened, maybe it didn't happen. And if you could get it now and not know it, maybe you could lose it and never miss it. And I'm not trying to make anyone doubt his salvation. I'm getting you to do what the Bible says. Question it. Examine it. Prove it. Check it. I don't want anybody to have doubts and worries if you're really saved. I don't want anybody to be confused about the matter. But it's my God-given responsibility to take this Bible and make sure that everybody's brought face to face with the truth. Are you really written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your name there? And when you die, like that good member did in this church last night, when you die, are you 100% sure your name is in that book? I wouldn't put it off. Eternity's too long. I believe time's running out. I believe Jesus is coming. I believe he's on his way and will be here shortly. You don't have time to ponder it much longer. Be sure your name is written in the book. You remember when Jesus said In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Is it? Is it? Revelation 20. Is it in the book? For sure. It's in the books. Your name's there. Everything you've ever done, ever will do, is there. That book, called the Book of Life, most important book in the universe, is your name written there. If so, when and where? Would you very kindly bow your head with me, please? I really want you to stop for just a moment. I'm not going to try to be dramatic. I don't need drama. But I want you to sit there for just a moment. Just sit there for just a moment. Quiet. Nobody doing anything anywhere. And examine yourself. Put it to the test. Do you have the sensitivity in your own heart of the Holy Spirit that bears witness with your spirit that you truly are a child of God? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Your preacher and others are praying. Who's here to be honest enough to say, Brother Miller, I really believe eternity is long, and I really believe there is, like Jesus said, a lake of fire, and I really believe that the scene described is actually in the book, and it's going to happen. But I have no confidence right now in my own heart that my name is written in the book of life. In fact, you could probably say, some of you, I don't believe it is. And if that be you and you believe God answers prayer and you would like to be saved even sitting right there where you are, would you, with all the confidence in the world and the assurance of the Holy Spirit and without any embarrassment, say, Brother Miller, I'd like October 5th, 2014 to be the day God writes my name in His book. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the building. Hold it up. All over the building. God bless you. God bless you. And you. And you. Oh, yes. Yes. God bless you. And you. You. A good number of hands are raised. Who else will join them? Who else will join them? Who else? God bless you. I believe you have confidence in prayer. So before we have the instruments play or have the invitation, those that just raised their hands, if you believe that the man of God can pray for you, I want you to stand up, come to this altar, and let me have a word of prayer with you. Would you do that? Stand up right now where you are. All these right here, back here in the back, stand up. Come on. Let's have a word of prayer together. That's right. Come on. Come on. Just come here to the altar and stand in front of me right here. Let's get it settled once and for all. God bless you. God bless you and you. God bless you over here. God bless you here. God bless you there. I saw another hand back there that needs to come. Don't put it off. This is too vital and too important. Don't put it off. You come right now. Come on. Let's get your name written in the book today. These are standing here, and I'm going to pray for them in just a moment. But I want you to get it settled once and for all. Come on. Who else? Who else will come join these? Eternity's a long time. Come on. Come on. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pastor, would you want to deal with them personally, or do you want me to deal with them and have them accept Christ as a group? Okay, all right. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to pray for you. You've come realizing your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me quote the verse to you that you already believe, and that's this, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He's the only way to get to heaven. You believe that He rose again from the dead. And you're believing that you're a sinner and would go to hell without Him having done that for you. And you're going to trust Him and trust Him alone to save you. Nothing else, no religion, no church, nothing else. He alone is going to save you. And you're going to call upon the Lord to save you and believe that He promised it and He'll do it. And standing at this altar right now, you will have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want you to pray this prayer and mean it in your heart and do it out loud. I'm going to help you word it. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So with your heads bowed, pray this prayer and mean it in your own heart. Dear Lord, say it out loud, all of you. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe You died for me, and I want You to forgive me and to cleanse me of every sin and come into my heart right now and save me in Jesus' name. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and you believe Christ saved you, would you raise your hand right there? Would you do that? Would you do it? All right, every one of you. God bless you. Now keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And Pastor, I'm going to keep them here, and maybe you'd want to have somebody take down their names and their addresses. So maybe we'll have them sit right over here. Father, thank You for these that have trusted Christ as their Savior. Thank You for writing their name in that book. Bless them, I pray. Or ask it in Jesus' name. Now, folks, for just a few moments, would you sit over here on this side right here in these chairs, all of you right here? There's enough chairs for all of you to sit. We just want to get your name so we can pray for you every day. And the rest of us are going to stand together. And here's what I would suggest you do. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you are saved and you know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know it's God who saved you, He's worthy of you having a public profession of that and letting people know that you're thankful for it. And I would suggest, as the piano and the instruments play, that you would leave your seat and come to an old-fashioned altar and just give thanks to God that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You come right now, all over.